sports opinion. With chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion. With chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 75th episode of the Beer Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and I'm here with the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
75th episode. That is what I'm talking about, dog. Yeah. 75th episode. I'm with all that. I'm with all that, man. It feels good, man. Feels good outside. It's 92 right now, and it's only 11 o'clock. It's going to be a hot one in the shy.
Damn, for real?
That's why I'm in the shade.
I ain't stepped outside yet today. Not once have I been outside, man. I've been in this like nice and cool 72 in the crib. You know what I'm saying? Nice and cool 72.
Nice.
I turned the AC
get
off.
Get some of this vitamin D.
Hey, man, I get plenty of vitamin D. You should see how dark my arms is. Let's check it. My arms is dark, right? But like the rest of me, though, like light than a motherfucker, bro. Because I'm like, if I take this shirt off.
So is that a tattoo on your body and you just white?
You know what? Could be. I'll be out there, man. Like, my wife is like, man, your neck black as shit, man. Back of my neck black. Fucking arms is black. The only thing that ain't black is, like, my torso and my legs, man, because I got pants and shit on all day. But
You got pink toes?
No, motherfucker. Man, shut up. let me tell her folks how to get in touch with us over here at this show, man. You on the bullshit early, bro. You on the bullshit early. But yo, man, hit us up here at the Beer Chicken Podcast, man. First of all, you can email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us emails. And of course, those emails will get read here and reply to live on the show. Hit us up on our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. We will play those messages here on the show. Respond to kind. And if you're watching us here live on Facebook and or YouTube, you can chop it up with us live as we do the show, man. So hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And how can they get in touch with you, Cliff?
On the screen, baby, DJ Neff Music. Twitter and Instagram. I'm there waiting for y'all. I love it.
Okay. Okay.
Read your shirt and apply it.
Whatever. So also, you can also leave us a 5-star review. Now, there's multiple ways to leave us a 5-star review. You can do that on iTunes. You can do that on Stitcher Radio. You can do that on Pocket Cast. Not Pocket Cast. You can do that on CastBox. Leave us a 5-star review on CastBox. And you can also leave us a review on Podcast Addict. So if you leave us a review on those four platforms, man, we will read those reviews here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spanport Podcast Network and the Beer Chicken Podcast specifically. And also, man, hit up our website, www.thespanport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Spanport Podcast Network to help us continue to do this thing the way we do it, man. Shout out to our Patreon patrons that allow for us to do this show live here. Those are the golden circle of the Spanport Podcast Network, man, real talk. But, yo, it's been a couple weeks, man, since we did this shit. What you been up to, bro?
I bought the kids a Venus flytrap.
Okay.
It caught 3 flies yesterday. Mm. Cliff said a murder happened. He was like, Dad, they murdered the flies. So actually, I bought them the plant like about 3 weeks ago. You know, just got in the kitchen. It's like something fun.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? I'm going to put it on the garbage can outside where we know there's flies.
Right.
But what happened within like the first 30 minutes? Yeah. Real shit, man. Fun to see.
Do you got like a camera or anything like to like kind of watch the whole process happen?
I can record it, like, if I put, like, a pin inside the plant and you can watch it close. But, like, I mean, I can grab it if you want to see it. It's not big.
It ain't that deep. It ain't that deep, man.
Yeah, yeah. But interesting, man. You see the fly in there just straight getting digested, yo.
That's crazy. That's some National Geographic shit, man, right in your backyard.
From who?
I said some National Geographic shit right in your backyard.
Real talk. I just need like that British voice, like on the Boondocks.
Yeah.
You're like, you should believe me because I'm British. Yeah, what's good with you, man?
Hey, man, just working and trying. I'm trying some new shit though, right? I'm trying not to work on the weekends.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm trying not to work on the weekends. Here's the thing. Like, I was talking about this with some of the guys at work Friday. And they would ask me, like, yo, Span, you coming in to work this weekend? I was like, nah, I'm trying to stop that. And the reason why I was like, you know what? When I was working on the weekends, I got used to my checks looking a certain way. And so when you used to your checks looking a certain way, you'd be like, well, shit, now it always got to look like this.
Facts.
And I got to keep coming in on the weekends in order for my checks to keep looking this way. And what do you do when you have that new money like that? You start creating bills for that new money you got. And then before you know it, you got to be in that bitch on 7 days, 6 days a week just to maintain this new shit that you know, all these new bills you done created. So I'm like, you know what? When we were on the, when we were on our little hiatus, like they had sat us down for like almost 2 months. Like I didn't go to work. Mm-hmm. They just basically paid me to stay home.
Right.
But when I was on that little hiatus or whatever, I was like, well, shit. I didn't really like how a regular check looked either. Like my 40-hour week check, that bitch is kind of ugly compared to what I was used to getting because there was no bonus on it. There was no overtime on it. I would do the overtime during the week just when trying to come in on the fucking weekends. And so I was like, yo, man, considering what those checks was looking like and what I get now, I'm like, I'm actually kind of good with my weekly check. I ain't got to come in on the weekends. So I'm trying not to do that shit because I'd be tired as fuck, man. And on top of that, with the podcast and everything, be busy than a motherfucker, bro. So I'm like, I'm trying to get away from the whole rat race of being at work and creating more bills. So, you know, to go with the work that I've, you know, like that whole shit is like a never ending cycle or whatever else. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get away from doing that, man. But other than that, man, just working and trying to like chill out, you know, because I that's the other thing. I was looking at trying to buy a house yesterday. I was looking at that and like the whole like get started with that process. And I'm like, man, why the bedrooms in all these houses in Detroit so damn small? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would like to put all my bedroom furniture in one room. You know what I'm saying? Like, why they so small, man? Like, if you get a house that's built like in the 1950s or something like that, and like you, and I think that's the thing. Like, I think we're bigger. We're bigger people than we were in the 1950s, bro. Like, that's just what it is. Like, the things that we like are like, especially housing and shit, is like bigger. And like,
right?
It's a lot going on, man.
I mean, that's not going to affect you much because you and the wife, y'all like 5'3", 5'4", right?
You got jokes.
5'5"?
You got jokes. My wife is 5'5", motherfucker.
5'6", then. I'm sorry. No disrespect. No, on the real, though, if you need some assistance, man, my man who I'm doing that development with in Detroit, he could help you tremendously, like, as family, straight up. So okay. We'll let me know, outside of this.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah. But I was going to go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, man, we can get into these topics, bro. We got a lot of shit, like, surprisingly, because, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of sports going on, but it's a lot of shit around sports going on right now. And I'm going to let you get things kicked off, man. So what you got for us this week?
Let me go in and pull this real quick. And the survey says, where is it at? Okay, we're going to get into some nice political-ish. And I know you like that.
Hey, man, ESPN, I tell you all the time, man, everything is political. You going to listen to me?
I'm with it. ESPN.com, this article was from the 20th. And it says, Giants manager Gabe Kapler players kneel during anthem. It says, Oakland, California, San Francisco Giants manager Gabe plans to use his position to speak out against racial injustice and provide a voice for those who aren't heard. Kapler and several of his players knelt during the national anthem before the game, 6-2 exhibition victory against the Athletics. Kapler shared his plans when he addressed the team earlier Monday, and he said players, all players will be supported by Giants no matter what they decide to do. He said, I wanted them to know that I wasn't pleased with the way our country was handling police brutality. And I told them I wanted to amplify their voices, and I wanted to amplify the Black community and marginalized communities as well, Kapler said. So I told them I wanted to use my platform to demonstrate my dissatisfaction, a big word, with the way we've handled racism in our country. I wanted to demonstrate my dissatisfaction with our clear systematic racism in our country. And I wanted them to know they got to make their own decisions, and we would respect and support those decisions. I'm going to just go down a little bit in this real quick. And he said, we've had a lot of conversations about the anthem over the course of the last 72 hours. And when I say we, I mean our coaching staff and our players in unison, Kappa said. We connected with small groups of players. We connected with players individually and had meaningful conversations about this topic. It was on the same field. The former A's catcher Bruce Maxwell in 2017 became the first major league to kneel for the anthem. This is a pretty long article, but just wanted to read what he initially said and what he was talking about with the team and how they came together as one. I have not, and I don't know about you, maybe we it could have happened, but I haven't seen an entire organization come together to stand with what's going on. I have not seen that. I know we spoke on this topic, oh my God, right? I haven't seen an entire organization come together and especially the coach, one, and of course in baseball, this is the manager, come out and say, I want to use my platform and give the players the ability to express themselves with no judgment on how they feel about it. And if they don't want to stand, they don't have to. If they want to stand, whatever the case may be. And then the fact that they brought management in. I know a lot of times me and you have spoke on how the positioning of these athletes has altered the way that back office treats them. And if they get contracts, i.e. cap, okay, that's of course the highest of the high. But now you have the back office supporting the players, and they all sitting down, one-on-one sessions or with the whole organization and talking about it freely. I think that's a huge step. I think it's a huge step because it's going to show other organizations, all sports across the playing field, that this can be something that can be talked about in a safe environment. And then you don't have to necessarily worry about your career being affected based on how you feel. And I think that at some point in time, if this has to be the lead example, it would be a great thing to have had happen already, but to show other organizations that, you know, here, the guy who is coaching the team, he's the one who took the soapbox and led the team and the whole organization down the right path. Well, let me not necessarily, I don't want to say the right path, the path that can actually bring people together to start having these conversations. You know, there are always, you know, Donald Trump had said, you know, shut up and go play ball or whatever he had said in the past, whatever that was. But now you have in the whole organization come together. I think it's a big deal. I think it should be a little bit more stated what they did, and put on a memo to every, you know, sports organization to say, hey, you guys, this is something that I think you should do so we can kind of set aside our differences and get back to ball playing and be able to have some type of, you know, normalcy when it comes to political views.
Yeah. So I got kind of mixed feelings about some of this stuff, like with baseball in particular. Cause like I saw the the Yankees and the Washington Nationals, like their like entire teams and shit decided that they were gonna take kneels. They were gonna kneel. I think they've been kneeling before the national anthem. Like they do it before the national anthem, and then like when the national anthem gets played, they'll stand for that. So the demonstration is like I guess like a they what was that calling it splitting the difference or whatever, but okay. One of the things that, like, I was thinking about, like, there was a baseball player, I want to say it was, like, year before last, by the name of Bruce Maxwell. He was a catcher for the Oakland A's. And like, yeah, he caught a lot of flack for when he was out there doing the kneeling and everything. He was the first Major League Baseball player to do so, to go out there and kneel during the national anthem, caught a lot of shit for doing so. And like, he wasn't really being supported by the organization. He wasn't really being supported by a lot of the players and shit. And truthfully speaking, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, I know when I think about, you know, like, sports and politics or whatever, like, you can tell there's some sports that kind of lean a certain way, right? So, like, you think about basketball, the NBA is pretty liberal in its politics. Like, it's got a lot of black players. You know, it's got a lot of guys who came up in urban environments and whatever else. You got a lot of international guys who play in that league. But by and large, you got a lot of guys who are socially conscious, and they have freedom and free reign to kind of say what they feel on political issues. Before Silver was the commissioner, it was Stern. Now, I know Stern like caught a lot of shit with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. When he decided that he was going to pray during, like, this is before Kaepernick, y'all. This is, like, years before this. This happened, like, 92, 93 sometime. Like, there was some pushback on Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf concerning that. And a lot of folks still didn't know that, like, NBA players, despite their outspokenness when it came to social issues, the NBA still mandated that they stand during the national anthem. It was a mandate, right? In the NFL, there was no mandate. So the idea that all these people were upset at Colin Kaepernick for sitting at first and then kneeling during the national anthem, despite the fact that the league had no rule whatsoever of what you were supposed to do during the national anthem, it's kind of funny too. But like, when it comes to baseball, I like, as we've seen, more and more black players just tend to disappear from this game because it's more so like a white. Is more white players, is more Latin players from, you know, different parts of you know, South America, South and Central America. I think even with the Latin, like the Latin players, there is a bit of a reticence to like try to, you know, rock the boat because of their political status within being, you know, their visa status and stuff, being within the United States of America, especially considering the way that the president of the United States talks about people coming from out of the country and how they, you know, how they interact within. What's wrong?
Now I'm outside. This bug just landed right in front of the fucking camera. Okay. He's walking on top of the laptop right now.
No, but
I'm like, what the?
Yeah, but
I'm sorry. So I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah. But like just the current political climate and how like those Latin players, I think those Latin players tend to like not necessarily want to rock the boat because of their status within America, right? So like baseball has, along with football, has kind of come across as like one of those sports where like the culture around it tended to be more conservative, right? And so like to see a lot of these guys now, like whole teams deciding that they're going to like kneel and shit, I just kind of wonder, like, okay, I know that we've had, you know, the killing of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and the coronavirus is going on and everything. Like, but I something about it just doesn't necessarily feel genuine to me. It just feels like y'all just like, okay, so now it's safe for us to do this. And then on top of that, I also wonder, because these games are being played with no fans in the stands, whether or not these players feel safer to do this because they don't have the immediate, feedback or the immediate like disdain of the fans who would have a problem with them kneeling during this time, who would have a problem with them declaring that Black Lives Matter because they don't even have fans in the stands for them to say, like, I don't like that, I don't agree with that. And I don't know if like, I just kind of feel like maybe, just maybe, that might have an effect on why these teams feel comfortable doing it now, especially considering when you had a guy like Bruce Maxwell who was out there early by himself pretty much doing it, and he's been ostracized damn near out of the league.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up now, though.
Okay, I don't know. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. I mean, you just kind of was breaking.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. So here's my thing. Do the fans have a direct effect whether or not these dudes are protesting? Maybe, right? And the only thing I can say to that is this. It's better than nothing, man. I get some people. It's going to be a lot of fake people out here, man. Right? And I mean, I'd rather. Yeah, exactly. Better late than never. I didn't hear you.
No, I was saying I was reading out what Canuck Duke said. He said better late than never in MLB, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, no matter what the sport is, you know, it's unfortunate that so many things had to happen for, you know, an entire organization to come together so we can have the conversation. Guess what? Unfortunately, all this had to happen because if it didn't happen, there wouldn't be no conversation, right? At the end of the day, it wouldn't be no conversation. You got to go through the mud sometimes to come out shining on the other side. And that's just the bottom line, you know, and I know it's kind of, you know, opinionated based off of people's actions right now, but it's like, yo, you know, it's tough to make a change and then not to go against you, but like, then when people start making a change, then it's going to be a lot of scrutinizing around that too. Well, is it genuine? Are they doing it for the right reason? It's like, yo, they never did it before. So can we at least get a little something? You know, no, let the drummer get some.
And I get that. I get that. Like, it's a thing that like, I'm kind of like, I'm trying not to be as cynical about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to be cynical about it, but I'm also recognizing like, yo, man, like y'all pretty much damn near let this dude get kicked out of the league for the shit that everybody's fucking doing now. And it's just a thing that y'all are doing as if like y'all always were down with this and you weren't, you know what I'm saying? And so like, that's my thing. I'm trying not to be cynical. You want people to come eventually, you want people to eventually get around to where you are. Right. And like, that's part of the reason why you apply that social pressure. Be like, hey man, listen, it ain't right. Or it ain't cool to be on that side of this shit. You need to get your act together. And so baseball is attempting to do that, but at the same time it's like, okay, y'all are doing that, but how about this dude over here though, like Bruce Maxwell? Why don't that dude have a job? In much the same way that people would talk about the NFL, like y'all talking about y'all got all these y'all have all these initiatives and everything else about, you know, Black Lives Matter or helping to bring awareness to the issue, and yet the person who kicked off a lot of it within your league isn't in your league because of the ostracization that he got while he was demonstrating this very thing. And so there's that, it is just trying to reconcile those two points for someone like me. Is reconciling those two points is like, okay, so y'all finally got on y'all. Okay. Y'all finally got with the shit. So why doesn't this person who was also on the same shit that y'all are just now getting on a part of what y'all are doing? You know what I'm saying? That's all, and that's the point that I'm making. Like, I'm glad that Major League Baseball is finally at this point, but like at the same time, it's like, hey man, so the person who like helped y'all get there, like, what about them? You're muted. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. No, I can't hear you, man. Might need to take your...
There you go.
There you go. Might need to take your ass back in the house.
I do this shit outside with you all the time.
Yeah, still. You was in the house. You probably should have stayed there.
Crazy thing is like, I need to have your ass on headphones where you talk. But no. What about the person who took all the heat for it? I hate to say it, man, but sometimes the person that really kicks the shit off, he's going to get the shortest end of the stick. Sorry. That's how it happens a lot of the time. Not going to say all the time. But, you know, it reminds me of? It reminds me of my mom told me when she was young, they thought Martin Luther King Jr. was an evil man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He got the shortest. Did. You see what I'm saying?
Plenty of people did. And I think that... Was there's a the adage that hindsight is 20/20, and you yes. it's funny how like we talk about Martin Luther King as like probably one of the purest and most heroic figures his nation has ever produced, but at the time of his life he was one of the most unpopular people in the nation, And now, like, we've getting the commercialization of, like, Martin Luther King. They use Martin Luther King Jr. to sell hamburgers at McDonald's and shit now. You know what I'm saying? They use Martin Luther King Jr. to, like, sell cars at Chevrolet. You know, so, like, Martin Luther King Jr. has become safe. And so, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, like, that has happened over the course of years and years of us being removed from that particular movement, right? Where now, like, this has probably happened within the course of, like, maybe the past 6 years. You know, when you go from, like, BLM to what's happening now. Because there was even a lull in between time where, like, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement was kind of losing some steam. And then things started happening. And then they started happening at a rapid pace. And so I'm just trying to understand. Like, I'm not knocking what Major League Baseball is doing. I want to make that clear. I'm not knocking it. All I'm saying is, like, yo, the people who, like, were doing this, that were being ostracized for doing this within the sport, maybe y'all could come off the shit and allow for them to have a space in the shit that y'all now deem is okay now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we all on this now. Oh, what? Because you weren't always. So the people that were always there, who were there from the beginning, allow them the space to operate within y'all. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying, really. And I also do kind of wonder, like, you know, the fact that ain't nobody in them damn stands. Like, I really do wonder what the impact of that has to do with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, by there not being anybody in those stadiums to watch those games, I do just kind of wonder how that directly impacts how those players feel like they can express themselves on the field. Like, if it would be different if there were actual fans in the stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I listen, man, I definitely, you know, it's just a nice step forward. That's all. You know, I'm not saying it's a proper step. It's just at least one.
Indeed.
No more, no less.
I'm not like, knocking. Real, I'm just, so. Bruce Maxwell, I think, needs a spot. But also, I got a real quick question for you. Have you watched any of these games so far yet? How do you feel about the artificial crowd noise?
And I'm not.
Say what?
I'm not.
You're not,
I'm not watching. I'm not watching.
You're not,
I'm
watching, not watching. You're not watching baseball?
No.
Really? The baseball fan of the show is not watching baseball. Why are you not watching baseball? Tell us more, Cliff. Tell us more.
Well, Bob, I just think that every sport going back right now is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Angry MLB fan is all up in the team page on Facebook. I've seen countless. You lost me as a fan because of Neil Post. Ah, well, guess what? They don't belong with you anyway, bro.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. I'm gonna say this right now to every all these people that be on these Facebook like news stories and shit saying, "Oh, you lost me as a fan. I'm never watching this channel again. I'm not gonna watch this team ever again." It's like running away from home for adults, right? Nobody fucking believes you. You going on fucking Facebook to tell everybody that you're not watching these games no more, you're not going to be a fan of that team no more, is bullshit. And also, nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck. Like, hey, who the fuck gives a goddamn if Brad Johnson decides he's never going to watch a Cubs game again? Nobody gives a fuck, man. Like, nobody gives a damn about whether or not you're not going to watch these games because they're deciding they're going to do some. So I try to watch these games to get away from the fucking politics, and they bring the goddamn politics right to the fucking games. It's bullshit, man.
You need to be a voiceover professional because that is just fantastic.
No, they do that shit all the time. Like, man, nobody cares that you're not watching these games, bro. No, nobody gives a shit.
No, honestly, do I want to watch the games? Of course I want to watch. Matter of fact, I'm not going to speak on this right now because this is what my way is going to be about. It's actually something close to going to watch about baseball. But no, I'm not really supporting any sports going back right now. I don't think it's a good move. And it's, I'm just not with it. That's my piece. You know, we have talked about this in the past, and to me, it's just not a good idea. That's all.
Now, I remember. Well, I do remember though when we did talk about the games that we thought could possibly come back. Baseball was one of them because of the like. That's one of the sports where you could actually social distance while playing that bitch, right? Like, it's not as if those guys are like. I mean, think about the distance between. Okay, so you got the time where like the batter is up, and he's, you know, maybe not 6 feet to get, you know, away from the catcher and the umpire. Mm-hmm. But then everybody else is at least 90 feet away from each other. You know what I'm saying? You got from first, mm-hmm. From first to home, from first to second, from second to third. It's like that's 90 feet. And then you got the guys in, you know, left, center, and right field. Like, for the most part, they're kind of mm-hmm. social distanced anyway. Now, being in the dugout might be something entirely different. Maybe they have to wear masks while they're in the dugout or some shit like that.
Right.
And I know they got rid of, like, you can't, like, you know, have sunflower seeds and be spitting and shit, you know, whatever. But of the sports that I think that they
that'd be me.
Yeah, but of the sports, though, that could possibly come back during this, I felt like baseball was probably one of them. And I thought it would be interesting to, like, see how they would manage, like, having, like, okay, we're going to bring this game back, but we're not going to have any – we're not going to have anybody in the stadiums, man. There's not going to be anybody. And I actually mm-hmm. – there was a game that was on yesterday. I don't remember who was playing because, you know, it wasn't mm-hmm. it wasn't the White Sox, so I didn't give a fuck.
It was the Cubs. It was the Cubs and the Brewers.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't give a damn because it wasn't the White Sox. But
you just didn't give a damn.
But here's the thing, though, right? So, like – They had crowd noise and shit, like, as I was watching the mm-hmm. game. And I'm like, damn, it's actually kind of realistic. Like, the crowd noise, like, they did real good with the crowd noise. I was like, damn, this is actually like watching a real game. But it's odd because you know ain't nobody there, bro. Like, you're looking at the stadium. You're looking at the stadium and ain't nobody there, bro. It's like, man, but the seats is empty. And I did see, like, a YouTube clip. Somebody actually there was one broadcast team. They actually talked about, like, CGI and, like, crowds into, the, like, the stands and shit. And it looks sort of like watching, like, an NBA 2K game. It was like watching the NBA 2K game. But you know what? Truthfully speaking, I would have been cool with that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not opposed to, like, the way that they're doing it. I think of all the sports that I thought could come back, baseball would have been one that could have pulled it off. And if they would have put, like, the little CGI NBA 2K, you know, crowd in the stands, and they coupled that with, the crowd noise that they already pumping out. Like, I'm like, yo, I could watch this shit at home and not miss a beat, bro. This is cool.
I watch SportsCenter. I'm not gonna lie, I am excited for one reason. You know, to be able to get up, watch SportsCenter, and you kept the top 10, yo, that has a certain place in my heart, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, all of that is, I mean, as well as me, you know, that is embedded in our DNA, you know, and for that to be back to whatever level, you know, I'm with it. But once again, I still don't think it's worth the sacrifice because somebody's gonna get COVID. Like right now, Lou Williams, they're investigating him because they got pictures of him at the strip club.
Hey man, you stepping on another topic. Stop that.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, that was one of your topics.
That was one of the topics, man. We got that. Come on, man. You stepping on.
Let's go to the next. Let's get baseball. We good.
Shit, man. All right. So yeah, we got that going on. But speaking of basketball, the NBA is attempting, I believe they are talking about coming back in 4 days. That would be July 30th. Actually, that's my brother's birthday. But, yo, they're talking about coming back July 30th. They got players in the NBA bubble and everything. And this is one, like, I've been adamant that I think the NBA just needs to just hang it up this year. Like, that's just where I'm at. As much as I love basketball, as much as I love NBA basketball, I just felt like, yo, man, on a safety tip, that the NBA should be saying, fuck this year, and let's go, let's start again fresh. Excuse me, with the next season, right? Like, we unfortunately don't get a champion this year, right? We get a champion next year, right? Low key, I think they're doing it because they want LeBron to get another chip. But, I do. I think that's the only reason why they're coming back. That's why LeBron was so adamant about them coming back. But so As a matter of fact, you talked about Lou Williams, right? We get this story, man. This comes out of ESPN because the NBA is probing Williams' actions after he left the NBA bubble. So it says the NBA is investigating what LA Clippers guard Lou Williams did while on an excused absence from the Orlando, Florida campus so it can assess the length of his re-quarantining process, multiple sources told ESPN on Saturday. Williams was photographed at an Atlanta gentleman's club on Thursday night by the rapper Jack Harlow. You ever heard of Jack Harlow before today? Yes? No? Maybe?
Crickets.
Okay.
That's his music. Crickets.
Yeah, okay. This is Williams was photographed Thursday night by the rapper Jack Harlow, who quickly deleted the post from his Instagram story. Harlow tweeted on Friday, "That was an old pic of me and Lou, and I was just reminiscing because I miss."
Hey, you got to ride with the team, dog.
Nigga,
you gotta ride with the
nigga. Team, no. That was old. That was old.
You wrong, man.
God damn, dog. He said sources told ESPN that Williams had been interviewed by NBA security about his whereabouts while he was away from campus and told them that he did go to Magic City Gentlemen's Club for a short time on Thursday night. Clippers coach Doc Rivers told reporters Saturday that Williams was back here with the team. So, yeah, first of all, Jack Harlow is a snitch. He tried to cover it up. Hey, man, listen. You know your mans can't – he ain't even supposed to be there. Your mans ain't – he can't eat.
Hey, he was like.
Hey, this is a problem. Like, so, I know we a little bit older. Like, we 40-plus Twitter, 40-plus Instagram, whatever the fuck. We've grown up in a time – where we didn't have to document every motherfucking thing we did.
And we couldn't, right?
We probably would have if we were like some young guys, right? We probably would have been doing, like, if this was available when we was like in college and shit, we'd have been documenting every goddamn thing to our own detriment, right?
That would have been dangerous.
To our own detriment. But this thing that people have with like, yo, I got to post every motherfucking thing I do, is crazy, right? And so somebody else, who did I see on Twitter that was talking about like the food at Magic City is fucking amazing, and that's probably why he was there.
The wing.
I mean, I ain't never been to Magic City, so I don't know. I mean, you could probably tell me, but I'm gonna just tell you this right now. The last time I went to a strip club, it really wasn't because of the women that was there. It was the food. I went to the strip club for the food. Matter of fact, my boy Willis was like, yo, man, like, I can't believe you in this motherfucker with all this ass and titties around, and you here for the catfish. Like, I can't believe, but real talk, I was there for the catfish. I'm like, yeah, the ass and titties is like bonus, but this catfish is hitting, nigga. Like, I'm here for the catfish. So, what do you make of this nigga making a detour to Magic City before getting back to the NBA?
Bro, I'm hungry.
I'm
hungry.
It couldn't have been just because he was hungry, dog. It couldn't have been.
Okay, let me. To his defense, all my family is in Atlanta. They don't look at it the same. Like, it's a different culture as far as what they consider their MO for going to, let's just say, Magic City. All right. They have like professional chefs in these places. They be having like straight up Alfredo shrimp and lobster pasta. Like, seriously, I mean, you know, so you could be sitting there with your girls, like, man, hey, man, let's go get some wings, you know, and it just so happened that some titties is just walking past. I mean, that's all I'm saying, but it's accepted as a norm.
Ass and titties.
I'm really trying to find some ground here. That's all I'm trying to do, man. Lou, if you ever watch this, okay,
Lou Williams got the rep though. Like, Lou Williams got two girlfriends that everybody knows about. Like, did they
ooh.
Lou Williams a pimp, dog. Lou Williams got like that's a thing for him, bro.
He's poly?
Huh? I don't know about all that. I know he got two girlfriends that they know about each other. They like it's like a thing, man. Like, it's all three of them, and like it's a thing.
Hey, Lou, man.
Everybody knows it. So I ain't mad. I, listen, I ain't knocking Lou Williams' hustle or none of that shit. I'm just, yeah, see, and Stacey in the chat room, man, he like, they split. Stacey in the chat room. They split. Stacey, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, they split. Lou Williams gets down. You know what I'm saying? Lou Williams is a pimp. But, nah, man, I'm saying, like, I know, like, they was talking about the, here's one way you could maybe explain what happened with Lou Williams, right?
Okay.
So, they've been talking about some of the food that they've been allowed to have in the NBA bubble, and it hasn't necessarily been appetizing, to say the least. And you talking to some motherfuckers who are multimillionaires, some of them multi-hundred thousandaires, like the least of them, but they some rich motherfuckers, right? And you roll up to them with like a school lunch, and they're like, man, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't roll up, hey, man, so what's this mystery meat? And like, we got some fruit, and like, and like,
hey, you remember Shawshank Redemption? He picked the worm out the grit. He like,
no, real talk.
And old man said, "You gonna eat that?"
No. And he gave it to the bird. He gave it to his bird.
He gave it to the bird.
So check it. I'm like, yo, I like, they've been showing like they live in quarters and shit. Like, they've been living in red roof inns. Like, you talking to some millionaire niggas. Like, a red roof inn would be adequate for many people. Not for these niggas. Like, the food that they serving would be adequate to somebody who doesn't necessarily, let's say, that are having trouble feeding themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Not to these guys. So maybe, just maybe, he like, listen, man, I've been craving these motherfucking Magic City wings for about 3 months now, bruh. They didn't let me out, this motherfucker. Let's go and swing through there real quick. And the person who got this nigga in trouble, he probably would have got away with it had it not been for Jack Harlow. If Jack Harlow hadn't been on the social media having to say, I'm up in the Magic City with my homeboy Lou Williams and shit, it's going down. Like, if he hadn't been doing that shit, man, maybe, you know, he wouldn't even be, like, in trouble right now.
It wouldn't be the first time in professional sport that somebody got caught up via social media. Recording video.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time anybody, not even sports, everybody get caught up on.
I'm just saying, we ain't gonna get fined $200,000 because we ain't got some wings.
I mean, we're not gonna get fined $200,000, but we also ain't making that kind of money where, like, finding a nigga $200,000 is a thing that you do anyway. You know what I'm saying?
But, like, Sam, you find $200.
I'm like, hey, that's nigga, for what? What I do, nigga? Like, hey, I need that. I need that shit. I need that. But Lou Williams with the Magic City, he's got to re-quarantine and shit before he can join his team or whatever else, man. But that was just funny to me. Like, this nigga needs to.
Hey, Lou, I hope you got the Linda Tappa spicy garlic drink. I'm just saying, make it worth your time. That's all I'm saying. Nothing more.
We should have a homeboy Taurus come on here and tell us about the virtues of the food at Magic City. Although I don't know if Taurus really frequents Magic City, you know?
He is way conservative.
I don't know if Taurus frequents Magic City, but I think Taurus probably done been to Magic City, if you know what I'm saying. He might have been there in the work capacity, you know what I'm saying? He might have been in the work capacity. So
And for the wings. Because Taurus is a big dude.
Shout out to my boy Taurus, man. Real talk.
Love that dude, man.
Love that dude. But, yo, man, what else we got? We got some more NBA news. So, Dwight Howard made some NBA news these past couple weeks, man. Apparently, Dwight Howard don't give a damn about this quarantine shit. As a matter of fact, Dwight Howard don't even believe in vaccines or any of that shit. We get this story here. This comes out of NBC Sports. As Dwight Howard says, he doesn't believe in vaccines. Now, they got videos of this shit, but it's mostly him just fucking around on, like, Instagram Live or some shit. And I watched some of these videos. They long as hell. They don't really get to the point. So we're just going to read the article. It says, Lakers center Dwight Howard admitted he got warned for not wearing a mask in the NBA bubble at Disney World. Howard actually made a somewhat reasonable defense. Unlike members of the general population who should absolutely wear masks, NBA players inside the bubble can reasonably know that they don't have coronavirus. Excuse me. said they can they quarantined and repeatedly tested negative before entering the bubble. They're tested daily. They're not supposed to interact with anyone outside the bubble. Shout out to Lou Williams. The system is working. The system is working with zero cases of coronavirus diagnosed within the bubble. That's why it's safe to do something. Play 5-on-5 basketball. That would be otherwise unsafe. However, if the system fails, someone sneaking into the bubble or inadvertently making too close of contact with someone outside of the bubble and coronavirus infiltrates the bubble, masks will help slow the spread. With the safety of everyone involved and so much money is at stake. Even with isolating from the outside world and testing, wearing a mask seems like a sound additional layer of protection, except that's not how Howard thinks. Howard on Instagram Live. Do I believe in vaccinations? No, I don't. That's my personal opinion, but no, I don't. That's bad enough in normal times. Howard stands might cause specific complications now. Will the NBA require players to get a coronavirus vaccine when one becomes available? A vaccine won't necessarily directly help everyone. Some people will have conditions that will preclude them from getting the vaccine. Even some people who get the vaccine unknowingly won't develop a resistance. That's why it's important for everyone who can get vaccinated to get it. There are reasonable debates about how that should be enforced in society, but it'd be easy to see a business like the NBA requiring employees to get a coronavirus vaccine to protect its product. So,
if you need me to read for you, I can.
Hey man, fuck you.
And I think that the British, real talk.
If you could have saw how the shit was written, I'm surprised it was that NBC Sports allowed that shit to be published in the way it was written. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how that goes. But yeah, man.
Use your mask.
Nigga, I was using them. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how that goes, man. That's not how that goes. So yo, Otto Cash is in this motherfucker like, yo, Dwight Howard has never been the brightest. Listen, I'm gonna say this. So I did this poll on the Span Report months ago, right? And I was asking people on the Span Report, I'm like, yo, if they came up with a coronavirus vaccine today, would you be willing to take it? And the vast majority of people who voted in that poll said that they would not take that vaccine. And truthfully speaking, most everybody who said that they wouldn't, they all had caveats. Well, you know, they got to do this, they got to do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yo, when I made the poll, I was under the assumption that all of that shit had been done. You motherfuckers coming up with all these caveats. Yo, listen, the vaccine is available. Are you taking it? Dwight Howard is not alone in this level of...
Mm-hmm.
What can we say? What's the word that I'm looking for here?
Just the idea of everything.
No, adversarial. Yeah, this is kind of adversarial to the idea of vaccines. Like he said, he doesn't personally believe in having vaccines. Now it's interesting because you kind of wonder, has he been vaccinated for anything? Right, like when you're an infant, a lot of times you got to get vaccinations in order to go to school and everything else. So as an adult, he's probably already had his vaccines, right? We also know that like Dwight Howard's got like a gang of kids and shit now. So like, is he worried about whether or not his kids get these vaccines and whether or not he will allow for his kids to take these vaccines and whatever else? And as an NBA employee, could the NBA enforce these vaccines upon these NBA guys to kind of protect their product, so to speak? So, what do you think, Cliff? Like, what do you think about this idea of the vaccine and Dwight Howard being out here talking about him not taking it, even if it were to be made available?
I don't knock his opinion. I mean, I have my own thoughts on vaccinations anyway.
You an anti-vaxxer, Cliff? Are you an anti-vaxxer, Cliff?
Spell it. But
A-N-T-I-V-A-X-X-E-R. C-L-I-F-F, nigga, anti-vaxxer.
Now
Cliff,
I know my ABCs. Listen, man, you know what? I would just say this. This is a very difficult day and time when it comes to your beliefs about anything. And, you know, I think it's more behind why Dwight feels the way he does. You know, a lot of people don't want to be forced to have this vaccine and this vaccine in order to get on a plane or in order to play basketball and all this other stuff. You know, it's so much more into
niggas don't even want to wear masks.
Wait for the second edition.
Niggas don't even want to wear masks. That's the tripped out part. And it's not just like guys like Dwight Howard, but like people don't even want to wear a fucking mask to protect. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, that too. I mean, the mask actually is actually not to protect you. It's from you giving it to somebody else, right?
Right. And I'll talk. That's what I was getting ready to get into. But go ahead. I'll let you finish your point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much on this because to me, you know, it's so much going around. It's so much, you know, different opinions and judgments and people's ideas around the vaccination. You know, unfortunately, it's beyond our control. I'm not the type of person to really try to fight something that I don't have control over. And unfortunately, if this is going to be like a law or something put in place in order for you to travel or to work, then I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't really fight against that. I just go, like, okay, I got to do what I got to do. If Dwight feels the way he does, I mean, I know Dwight is not the smartest dude on the earth. Does he have a whole lot of kids? Yeah. But at the end of the day, he has his right to how he feels. And I'm almost sure all his baby mamas and them, right, them kids going to be getting vaccinated, whether he likes it or not, if they want to go to school. If or whenever they go to school, let me say that much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all. I mean, it's kind of simple. And, you know, we can look at Dwight in whatever way that we want to. But, you know, Dwight Howard is not going to be the voice that I would even take 2 seconds to listen to around his opinion if it was about eating French fries, let alone a damn vaccine. Okay? Like, straight up. He doesn't get that much energy out of me.
Yeah, like the thing with Dwight Howard, man, like, earlier this summer, Dwight Howard was him and, who was that? Kyrie Irving. You know, both of those dudes, both of them went out on the limb and they were talking about they may not even come back for the NBA season because they wanted to make sure that Black Lives Mattered and all this other shit. And then he decided to come back to the NBA. I don't think, are the Nets even invited to the reboot of this NBA season? Like, I don't know. I think Kyrie was just talking out his ass because he wasn't going to be playing anyway. But, like, Dwight Howard actually played for a contender. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he was out there saying, well, I might not come back, but then he came back, he comes in there, and now he's like, yo, I don't believe in vaccines, I don't, you know, he's not wearing a mask and everything, and, like, they're talking about, like, yeah, he may have a point because of, like, the conditioning and, like, the environment in which the NBA is trying to foster with them being in a bubble and quarantining and testing them every day, and, like, maybe having a point with that, but, like, the idea that if a vaccine was made available to keep you from getting this maybe life-threatening disease that you decided, like, nah, I don't want it. You know, like, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of crazy, right? It's crazy to me. I just put it to you like that. Like, if I had an opportunity to get a motherfucking life-saving goddamn vaccination, better believe your man Span gonna be getting a life-saving vaccination. That's just where I'm at with it, right? But, no, like, Dwight Howard, though, like, when you talk about, like, the whole mask-wearing thing, and shout out to my boy Rod over at the Black Guy Who Tips. But, like, he was like, yo, when they started telling people that they should wear a mask, the worst thing they could have did was tell Americans that the wearing of the mask was to protect other people from getting it and not yourself. Because Americans are some selfish motherfuckers, man. Like, if they'd have told Americans that, like, yo, you wearing a mask will, like, help you not get the coronavirus, everybody and their mama would be wearing it. But the minute that they told you that you didn't have to wear that shit to keep other people from getting it, they're like, oh, nigga, fuck that. I ain't got to wear shit because Americans are some of the most selfish motherfuckers on the face of the planet, man. We believe we number one in everything. Like, we are number one in coronavirus cases right now. You know what I'm saying? We are number one, like, in the amount of people dying per day from the shit. So the idea that this dude is, although he's in the bubble, talking about, like, despite all this shit that's going on in the world, nah, I don't believe in that. Man, you shut your dumb ass up, man. And you know what? It pains me to say it because, like, I used to be a big Dwight Howard fan, man. When, like, he was, like when he was with the Orlando Magic, like, next to Shaq, like, on NBA 2K, nigga, he was the most dominant motherfucking player on the game. Like, I would play with him. Like, I would pick the Orlando Magic against anybody who picked up the Cavs or anybody against who would pick up, like, the Lakers. Because, like, you know, you always hear those. gonna get Kobe. I'm gonna get LeBron. Like them type of niggas, man. Like I would always go ahead and get the Orlando Magic and just dominate. Like that's just what I did. But
I mean, Dwight. Here's the thing: when it comes to athletes, you gotta love them as an athlete, not as a person. I didn't like Kobe.
Listen,
you know that. I was not a Kobe fan outside of the court.
And I've said this on the show. I'm like, that was probably one of the things about social media, right? Is that we have so much access to how these motherfuckers think and how they, like, you know, move about in the world now. That, yeah. Like, I kind of wish we didn't know as much about these niggas that we do now, right? Because, social media has opened it up to where, like, we have so much information about them. Like, it makes it hard for the guys that you used to root for. You're like, man, but this nigga dumb, bro. Like, it makes it hard to root for people. It makes it hard. Like, same thing with Kanye. Like, I used to love Kanye's music, right? I can't listen to the nigga like I used to because of all the other shit that's going on with him right now. It makes it hard for me to enjoy his music. That's for me personally. I don't ascribe that to anybody else. For me personally, it makes it hard for me to, like, consume his music with all the other shit he got going on. And I'm like, man, this nigga is dumb. Like, that's just me. That's just me. But like, and with social media, we have so much access to these guys. It's like, yo, man, I kind of wish I didn't know this about you. You know, I kind of wish I didn't know this about you, man. So yeah, he said, "What was it? Kai not playing? The Nets are though." Oh, okay. I didn't know if the Nets were one of those because I think there were like 8 teams that were not playing or were not invited into the bubble. I know the Chicago Bulls was one of them because we weren't playing. You want me
this can be fast because to me this is simple. You want me to hit on the Thibodeau thing?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Thibodeau.
Another ESPN.com. Thibodeau finalized a 5-year deal with the Knicks. Sorry, Tom. You're about to go into a world of destruction. New York Knicks and Thibodeau are finalized a 5-year deal to make him the franchise's next coach, sources tell ESPN. Knicks presidents Leon Rose and agent Spencer Brecker of CAA News Sports were working Saturday to complete a contractual terms and sign agreement and expected in the near future. Rose and executive president William Wesley are completing a 2-month search process with Thibodeau, long expected to emerge with a job. Together, they'll be asked with the daunting challenge of restoring a forlorn, we can spell forlorn with like 9 O's, all right, franchise to NBA relevance. New York is counting on Thibodeau, who has a history in player development as head coach and assistant, to put into place a program that will restore a competitive infrastructure with the Knicks. For now, Rose and Thibodeau inherit a roster that needs dramatic upgrades before a return to the Eastern Conference contention is realistic. New York, the Knicks were 21-45. Sorry. If any Knicks fans are watching this, y'all suck. Just hey, like the Bulls.
Hey, can I go you like pray for RJ Barrett's knees?
Thibodeau, who's 62, comes to the Knicks after 2+ seasons with the Timberwolves that included the franchise's first playoff berth in 14 years and unraveling centered of an all-star Jimmy Butler's trade demand that led to Thibodeau's dismissal in 2019. Go on to say a whole bunch of stuff, but the bottom line is honestly, out of all the coaches in the league, and I'm not saying this because Thibodeau coached the Bulls, but I've always said that Thibodeau, because his background was a defensive platform, he would be successful. And everywhere Thibodeau went, he deemed to help players be a better baller at the end of the day, and whatever aspects they're good in, Thibodeau is a very good coach. I'm trying to figure a word to use for the Knicks, but the task that he has in front of him, hey man, just get that money and good luck, like for real. Because I don't even know, man. I mean, the last time the Knicks was a contender personally was in the 90s, and that's pretty much all I got for you. So shout out to Tibbs, man. I like him a lot. Good dude, solid guy. You know, and if he can go any place and turn it around, let's just hope it's the Knicks because they need it.
All I know is Tibbs going to every practice like,
I kill everybody up in this motherfucker.
Tim's going to every practice like that, baby. They know, like, the motherfuckers going to be doing two-a-days every day.
Hey, man.
And shout out to our Knicks listeners, man. Our Knicks fan listeners, man. You have our deepest condolences.
Our deepest condolences.
My man Stacy is like, man, fuck Tibbs, damn overseer killing careers with slave minutes. Oh, man.
Tibbs might be your only chance in the next decade. So let's just see what can happen, man.
I don't know, man. I think the problem with Knicks, is right now, much the same like the problem with the like Detroit Lions is ownership. Like, until you get a competent, like, owner who gives a damn as to how that team should run, they probably won't be worth a damn. And that's just what it is. And many people have talked about, you know, making James Dolan sell that team. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of shit that goes on with the Knicks that, like, has to do with their owner and, like, how their owner treats not only the organization, but how he treats fucking fans. I know, like, Spike Lee got into a big-ass thing with... Yeah. With James Dolan and everything else, like, yeah, and even Stacey, he's in the chat room, like, yo, Dolan must go. It's like the
Oakley and
Charles Oakley, who's a fucking Knick legend, yeah. Right? So, like, I mean, you just kind of look at like the ownership of that team is like, until ownership probably sells a team, they're probably gonna be in the same boat. Like,
I have an example, okay, the Cubs. We had issues for a long time.
Yeah.
When they changed ownership
Ricketts.
And GM and they did a great job with recruiting, you saw what the outcome was. So the Knicks, listen, man, whenever you guys do win, it tastes very good. I can tell you that from experience. So hey, I am still bathing from 2016, all right, because people always throw salt at you. And the Knicks, not because I'm a Bulls fan, I can understand that. Like, there are the Knicks platform as far as the fans and how deeply rooted and they're real fans. I will say there's some Knicks fans, some real fans.
They are real fans.
Attend games.
Delusional, but they're real.
However you like to put that, but at the end of the day, a fan is with you to the end.
Indeed. Okay? I'm just saying, like, you and I both know, nigga, every time, like say, for instance, when they got Amari Stoudemire, like, nigga, this our year, nigga, we got Amari. Like, you sure?
Amari was like, my forearm hurts.
Hey, he's talking about my Yanks got 27, Cliff. Keep bathing, my...
Yo, I'm not trying to compare. I'm just saying I understand the struggle. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Cliff over here like, hey, man, let me celebrate this one, bro. Jesus Christ. I mean, I know I give Cliff enough shit for being a Cubs fan, but.
And listen, the Yankees are the number one sports organization in the world. In the world, seriously. The Yankees have more championships, more everything than anybody. There's no other team worldwide that has anything. They have the highest salary cap and all that shit, but.
Hey, but yeah. Stop. The fuck, man.
What if he cursed back at you? What'll happen?
I would die laughing. That's what.
No, I would run.
I would die laughing.
Lights start flickering.
Hold on. LOL at BLM. Thank you for paving the way for reelecting Trump 2020. You got to be the dumbest motherfucker on the face of the planet if you think that Black Lives Matter will be leading to Donald Trump winning a fucking
biggest complainer.
Oh my God. This is
that's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Hey
man, first of all, thanks for the comment, but
you got to be the dumbest motherfucker if that's what you think is gonna happen. Like, I know Trump got some delusional motherfucking people that root for this dude. Like, you got to be the stupidest motherfucker on the face of the planet. If you think that like Black Lives Matter was gonna lead to Trump being reelected, hey man, how about your man's properly manage this motherfucking coronavirus epidemic? This pandemic. I'm sorry. Didn't we just have 150,000 fucking Americans just die this past week over the course of like since the time the coronavirus has come across this nation? 150,000 Americans, and you talking about fucking Black Lives Matter? Fuck you, man. Get the fuck out of my chat room. What's wrong with you, bitch? Fuck out of here.
To me, that's just jokes. They can't be real. They can't be. They
fuck
can't
out of
be.
Here.
Next topic, WNBA.
We could talk WNBA. We could talk WNBA. As a matter of fact, I got this pulled up. The WNBA players walking off during the goddamn national anthem.
Gangster. Hey, hold up.
Hey man, you talk about elevating some shit. You talk about elevating some shit. Like, they done went from like, hey man, fuck this Neela shit, man. Fuck this song altogether, nigga. Like, fuck this song altogether.
They was like, fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch, nigga.
Hey,
I'm gonna tell you this right now, man. The WNBA has, like, real talk, man, they've been on the forefront of a lot of this shit, man. There's a lot of WNBA star players who decided that they're not coming back to play ball this season because of their work in social justice and whatnot, man. You've had WNBA players who, I want to say this is like, when did this, I want to say it was when, what's my man name that had the legal gun in Minnesota? I'm trying to think of his name right now, and I can't. I'm drawing a blank on his name, and I hate this shit.
Legal gun, like basketball, like sports.
Nah, man, he was in his car with his girlfriend. His girlfriend videotaped the whole shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't George. It wasn't Eric Garner. I'm drawing a blank on his name, man. But I can like the Minneapolis Lynx. Like, you know, having, you know, doing demonstrations, wearing t-shirts and stuff like that. The WNBA, Philando Castile. Thank you, Stacey.
Philando
Castile. Yeah. I can remember when that happened, and WNBA players, is most notably the Minneapolis Lynx, you know, stepping out and saying like, nah, man, fuck this. Like, wearing t-shirts, kneeling during, like, you know, national anthem and all. Like, the WNBA for, like, you know, I know people joke about whether or not people watch their sport, this, that, and the other, and who goes to their games and shit. But when it comes to social justice work, when it comes to social justice activism, when it comes to bringing attention to this shit, the WNBA players use their platform more effectively than anybody else. They're usually at the forefront of a lot of that shit, man. And they decided that when the national anthem was going to be played, they were going to walk off. So we get this story here. This comes out of TheHill.com. It says, as the national anthem was being played prior to the WNBA season opening game between the Seattle Storm and the New York Liberty, all players from both teams returned to their respective locker rooms as a sign of solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. Also, before the start of the game, the two teams participated in a 26-second moment of silence in remembrance of Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old Black woman who was killed by police in her Louisville, Kentucky home in March. We will say her name. The New York Liberty and Seattle Storm participated in a powerful moment of recognition of Breonna Taylor, head of the set. Oh, that was a tweet. It said, the league has been transparent and is supportive for Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is printed on all of the league's courts, and players before the game sported black warm-ups with the phrase on them as well. Players across most of the country's professional sports leagues have shown their support for the movement by either kneeling or wearing Black Lives Matter-inspired warm-ups. The movement was re-galvanized at the end of May when George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, died after a Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck for more than 8 minutes. While all of the former officers involved in Floyd's death have been arrested and criminally charged, the trio of officers responsible for Taylor's death have not been fired from the Louisville Police Force, nor have they been charged with crime. So, yeah, man. Shout out to the ladies at the WNBA, man. They have been, like, they've been pushing the pedal to the metal, man. Like, of all the leagues, man, like I said, of all the leagues, I think the WNBA has been the most forward on this this level of protest and level of social justice work. And the fact that they just decided that, like, kneeling wasn't enough. We walking the fuck out while this song is being played, man. Powerful. I think it was a powerful moment.
Well, I'm a big supporter of when women can express their voices, and on the platform they have. I know you said something earlier where people, I think we even talked about this before, where there's not a lot of people that watch the games. A lot of people will know what time the games come on, etc. But to walk off, some gangster shit. I mean, it don't get any more clearer by not kneeling, but the song comes on. You know how you got to jump, your jumpsuit over here, your Gatorade, you just grab that, and you just, you know, stage left. Like, for real. It don't get any clearer. Like you said, fantastic. I mean, it's not too much you can say, but yo, if everybody just walked off, it would be a little bit different. You know, fuck kneeling. If people just start walking off. Now, see, that's what I'm with. I'm with the extreme. Like, yo, let's take it all the way.
But you know what? I think, and like, here's what I also think too, right? So like the, I think we've sort of seen like almost a commercialization of the whole kneeling thing. Going back to the whole baseball thing, it's safe for you to go out there and kneel and stuff now, right? And make, well, for them, it's a little bit safer for them to do it. But like the amping up of that, like, all right, so now y'all decide y'all want to kneel. Here's what we doing now. We ain't listening to this shit. We going back to the locker room. Tell us when the damn song is over with. You know right. what I'm saying? Like the amplification of that to bring more attention to the fact that like the killers of Breonna Taylor have not been arrested yet. And we know that she like in the circumstances surrounding how she was killed was on some bogus information, on some bogus policing, on like even the guy that she was with who had been charged with, I believe was it assaulting a police officer because he returned fire. Right. You come into somebody's house like had that been my house, they'd have had some hot ones coming their way, too. That's just what it is. Like these no knock raids. I think I don't know who the fuck that is. You going to get some hot ones coming your way. So the fact that like, you know, people have not or like the officers who are responsible for her death have not been held to account. Needs to be paid attention to, and the fact that the WNBA was on the forefront, like, listen, this kneeling is cool, but we need to do something more in order to get, you know, to get these folks' attention on this issue. I thought that was dope as hell for them to do, man. Like, cause it is like these songs, these flags are symbols to a lot of like, you know, to our Caucasian brothers and sisters in America, right? These are real powerful symbols to them. And the fact that you don't feel the same way about these symbols that they do is kind of jarring to them because they've been like, well, what the fuck's the problem, man? Like, I thought we were all cool. I mean, I'm Black Lives Matter, but what the fuck, man? And then now you have a discussion around, okay, so yeah, you say this. This is what it means for me. And this is what I need you to do. Like, it sparks that discussion. And so, yeah, man, it'll be interesting to see how these NBA players do it because, of course, like as much as we talk about like how powerful a movement or a move this was for WNBA players to do, the league doesn't have the reach that the NBA does. So it'll be interesting to see how NBA players decide that they're going to, you know, react to, you know, the national anthem when it gets played, when they decide they're going to reopen the NBA July 30th. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not they fall in line, or not necessarily fall in line, but whether or not they, like, in solidarity with the WNBA, decide that they're going to just say, you know what, fuck it, we're going to ride with with our sisters in this league and amplify this message.
I don't know, man. Yeah, you know what? If you want to have an example of what the brother should do, they should just do what the NBA did, WNBA did. Now, will they do that? I heavily doubt. But I will just say this much, you know, I am not going to say, like, everything they're doing is pleases me as far as their effectiveness with the platform that they have. But as long as something has happened, man, I guess that's all I can ask for. You know, I don't want to say anybody's name, but a couple guys in the family who are in the league, you know, they don't, a lot of them don't want to be on the forefront of stuff, you know, and at the end of the day, it, you know, that's fine too. But, for a whole squad to walk out, man, that is just, that to me just.
Both teams though. Let's make that clear. Both teams walk the fuck out. They walk the fuck out. both teams.
Yeah.
So shout out to all of those sisters, man, for you know, for what they did, man, because it brings attention to this issue. Otto Cash is in the chat room. He said, we got to do all this for an arrest. I'm going to tell you this right now. You got to vote. The reason why those officers haven't been arrested is because the district attorney in that particular area has decided he doesn't want to press charges on those officers. So the people in that area, they got to vote his ass out. Plain and simple. If you want something to be done in that area concerning that, you got to go to the polls, man. And if you have an opportunity to vote absentee, like I did, go ahead and vote, man. Vote as early as you possibly can. Don't let these motherfuckers tie up these voting these polling places and shit, talking about we ain't got enough polls for you to come in and vote, and you waiting in line for 6 hours so you can go ahead and exercise your franchise. If you have an opportunity to go ahead and do your absentee balloting, go ahead and do your absentee balloting, vote early, and get these motherfuckers up out of the paint. That's why those officers haven't been arrested. The dude who is in charge of that is in a position to where nothing's going to happen until he says so. So if he doesn't do that, guess what you need to do? Have some accountability for that. Vote his ass out. That's what you got to do, man. Plain and simple. And the DA is a brother. Yeah, that is he, though? I mean, you know, is he? All skin folk ain't kin folk is what they say, you know what I'm saying? But, yo, man, it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. But y'all know what we do before we go. And it's time for us
to... We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, Cliff?
Y'all talked about watching baseball. So, colleague of mine has season tickets at Wrigley, and because there are no fans in the seats, the rooftops have still allowed people to come in and watch the game. If you've never been to Wrigley, the rooftops around the stadium, you can get there an hour before and stay an hour after. All you can drink, all you can eat, three levels, outside, inside, air conditioned. It is fantastic. Fantastic. All that to say, because they're only allowing 25% of capacity in each rooftop, it's only 25 people. Well, to make up for the difference, instead of $60, that Cuban. If I'd have stayed outside, I'd have been smoking. And yes, I got you, bro. Trust me. Because they're only allowing 25% capacity on the rooftops, they got to make up the difference in the bread. So instead of $60, it's $350 for one game. So, you know, if you're an avid game goer, you know, I take my son and go to the game, you know, $120 and everything, that would be $700, you know, today. And my man called me and said, hey, they're giving us 20% off and they're giving us first bids on these games because we're not allowed to use our tickets in the stadium, right? I'm generous. Well, tickets are still going to be $280, at $270, whatever the case may be. No other incentives still, hour before, hour after, all you can drink, all you can eat, you know. They're only going to have one of the inside levels open outside. Of course, the social distance piece will be implied. And for me, I'm like, $350, huh? $350? That's like six games regularly, right? But y'all want one game worth because, right? That's what y'all want. That's what y'all looking for. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. It's like, yo, $350? $350? So you want me to pay for everybody else that couldn't make it? Okay, for everybody else that couldn't make it, you want me to pay for them because that's what y'all saying. Okay, this might be the most legitimate wing I've had in a year. $350. I mean, do I get a hat, T-shirt?
Oh,
that's all I got, man.
Oh,
nothing else to be said. Nothing else to be said.
That's funny, man. I'm not gonna say nothing.
I need a T-shirt
for beer chicken. I just said $3.50.
Indeed, man. Indeed. Now, I'm winging it on the Washington football team, man.
Oh God.
Oh man. So
oh, not to cut you off. Did you get the tag that I posted you on the Instagram?
No. I probably did. I haven't checked my Instagram messages, but
go ahead.
The Washington football team. That's what they're actually deciding to call themselves right now. So for those of you who have been paying attention, the Washington the football team in Washington has been they've been pressured to change the name of that team for some years now. And because of everything that's going on in the world with coronavirus and with Black Lives Matter and with the Confederate statues and shit coming down and like, you know, like the momentum is like, yo, all this racist shit y'all been having going on for a long time. It's time for that shit to end. It's time for that shit to end. And the Washington football team. The football team in Washington has decided that it's too short notice for them to change the actual name of the team, so they're going to be known as the Washington football team. Too short notice. Nigga. They've been asking y'all to change the name of that team for fucking decades now. Now, I get that Daniel Snyder has been saying, like, I'm not doing this shit. It's going to be the name of the team that I bought from the time, he just vowed not to ever do the shit. He's gonna keep calling them the Washington racial slurs for as long as his motherfucking, as long as he owned the team. But then the money started talking. And when the money started talking, when FedEx was like, yo, man, we might just go ahead and take our name up off that motherfucking stadium. And then he had FedEx ownership that was like, yeah, we kind of been trying to sell our fucking, we trying to sell our share, but don't nobody want this shit. You know how bad shit got to be for a nigga to not even want to buy a piece of an NFL team? You know how bad shit got to be? And then on top of that, you got a bombshell Washington Post expose about sexual harassment within the organization where like 15 women are accusing the organization of fucking sexual harassment going on within them. Can you call them, if anything, they should call them like the Washington Swamp Things, the motherfucking Washington Butt Guards, the Washington, like, I don't know, man. All I know is whatever's going on with that organization in D.C. is a clusterfuck. And maybe Daniel Snyder, along with James Dolan, along with Jerry Reinsdorf, along with the Ford family, just start selling this shit, man. Because the people don't like what the fuck y'all got going on, bro. Like, the Lions stay losing. The fucking Knicks stay losing and getting in beefs with their fucking star, like, legendary players and shit. The Redskins have fucking sexual harassment and racial slur, like, mascot name and shit. Like, they don't even, like, they gonna go on for the next year with just, like, no name at all. Just, like, we gonna put the numbers on the side of the helmet because we ain't got no name. Like, the Washington Generics. That's what they should probably call them. The Washington Generics. You know? But, yeah, man, that's what I'm winging on tonight, man. The fact that, like, Washington, like, the football team doesn't have a name because they thought it was too short notice for them to change the shit up. Like, motherfuckers ain't been asking them to change the name of that team for the better part of this last decade, man. It's fucking stupid. And that's what your man Span is winging it on, man, real talk. But, yo, this is fun. We can talk some shit or whatever. But it's time for us to get on about it here.
Hey, and actually, we're going to be back on schedule because now we actually going to have some things to review. Legitimate, right?
We're going to have some sports shit to talk about. And I know part of the reason we haven't been doing any shows, hey, it ain't been on sports popping off, man. We ain't had shit. We ain't had no basketball to talk about. We ain't had no football to talk about. We ain't had no baseball to talk about. Not that we really talk about baseball all that much. But I'm just saying, like, we haven't had a whole lot of shit going on in the sports world outside of a lot of the political shit. And truthfully speaking, we talked about a lot of the political shit around the games today. But we'll actually have some sports shit to talk about with some of these sports deciding that they're going to come back, even though I still believe that the NBA should probably just leave it well enough alone and just say, fuck it. But whatever, right? So you'll be seeing more Beer and Chicken podcast episodes going forward because the sports is back, right? Sports is back, and we're going to be back like that. Hopefully, we don't have to start at like 12 o'clock on a fucking Sunday afternoon. Much more like, you know, maybe 5 or 6, you know. But that'll work. That'll work. But yo, man. Before we get out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. And if you're watching us live on YouTube and or Facebook, call that hotline and chop it up with your man Span and Cliff as we talk our shit here on these podcast streets, right? Also, email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And you can follow the homeboy Cliff where, man?
DJ Neff Music on both of those platforms.
All right, yeah, what he said. And then you can also hit us up with a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podcast Addict, and CastBox. Leave us a 5-star review or a comment on both on all of those platforms. Those reviews will get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you nothing. Just let us know what you're thinking about what we're talking about here on the show, right? And also go to our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put those polls up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, right? And, yo, man, I think that's it, man. We didn't talk about a whole lot of shit. We've been on here for about an hour and a half, and we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace out.
Holla back.